Well, this morning, what I would like to do is continue on in looking at some of the names of Jesus in the scriptures that are not used all that often, or kind of obscure in one way or another. So that's what I want to do today. And today I want to look at the name that we saw in this reading from Revelation. And the very first sentence it says, "And the angel of the Lord in Laodicea wrote the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness." This is the one time in the scriptures that Jesus' name is Amen. So there you are. I thought we'd take a look at that and what that means today. And as I was thinking about that, I was reminded of a chat that I had with my son just a couple of months ago. As you know, he works at a church in the Diocese of New Jersey. He's on the staff there at that church. And one Sunday, it was Confirmation Sunday, and of course, the bishop comes out for that. On that Sunday, the Bishop of New Jersey could not make it. So there was an assistant bishop. You know, that's usually a retired bishop who works part-time in a diocese doing confirmations and whatever. And so this assistant bishop from the Diocese of Pennsylvania drives on over to Westfield, New Jersey, and does the confirmation service. My son meets him and says, "Well, I was raised in the Diocese of Pennsylvania, which is where both Carol and I grew up and where we had served for a lot of years in one church there. And both our kids were raised there." He says, "I was raised in the Diocese of Pennsylvania at St. Mary's in Warwick." And some of you will remember, I think I've shared this before, about 7 years after we left Pennsylvania, St. Mary's closed. We weren't there when it closed, of course, but it closed. Very heartbreaking. And a few months after it closed, somebody called me up, a layperson from that diocese called me up and said, I want to start a new service using St. Mary's. We had built a new building there, and the old building was still functional. We want to do evening prayer in the old service every so often. And I said, "That's great." And he asked me, "What about the community, this and that?" And he started. And I was reminded that when I heard that church had closed, I felt the Spirit of God just kind of put this thought in my mind. The day will come when Jesus stands in front of the tomb of that ministry and says, "Lazarus, come forth." I just didn't think I'd see it in my lifetime. But here's this young man is starting evening prayer occasionally. And it goes along. And that was, I don't know, that was maybe 8 years ago now or so that he called me. And my son is a couple months ago talking to this assistant bishop. And he says, "I was raised at St. Mary's Warwick. My father was the rector." So the bishop says, "Tell your father that congregation of St. Mary's merged with another church. And every Sunday, that building is packed." Yay! Yeah. That reminded me of the name of Jesus, Amen. And Amen, as you may know, means it is true, or may it be. Or if you were a fan of Star Trek, The Next Generation, Captain Jean-Luc Picard saying, "Make it so." That's what Amen means. And Jesus having that name means that every promise of God, he makes so. Every single one. There's not a little tiny dot of any promise of God that will be unfulfilled, because Jesus will make it so. Now, where we usually don't understand what's going on is that he doesn't make it so on our calendar, in our timeline, but he still makes it so. He always makes it so. In fact, we see here in this first verse of Revelation that Jesus is the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Everything about Jesus means that he makes an indestructible guarantee of the promises of God, and it is unshakable. Nothing, absolutely nothing, will keep them from being fulfilled. At whatever time they will be fulfilled, but nothing will keep them from being fulfilled. Every word, every little dot of the Word of God will be fulfilled because Jesus is the Amen, the one who makes it so. And we see in this reading today that there are two aspects of that. There's a lot of other things going on in this reading from Revelation, but there's two aspects of it. One I call the knocking, and the other, the Amen. Now, we've kind of described the Amen. We've looked at it. We see that it's his name. We see how it's going on. And in fact, it's a bit obscure because Amen is used a lot in different ways. The name of Amen never came into our liturgies or prayers historically as the name of Jesus. It usually means, make it so after we pray something together. But nonetheless, we know that Jesus is the one who makes it so. In fact, in Corinthians, Paul talks about Jesus as the yes and the amen of all God's promises. And that's where we can stand. That's where we get to know him a little better. And that's what the knocking is about. And we see that in this fairly well-known section of this section of Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Many of you have probably heard that. If you were raised in a more evangelical kind of church or part of an evangelical ministry, you probably used that verse as a verse in which it was evangelistic. You would invite a non-Christian to listen and say, hey, he's knocking at the door of your heart. Let him in. He'll promise to come in. And that's how a lot of people became Christians. And that's a very fruitful kind of way of looking at this verse. But I want you to notice, and this is where it really affects us very directly, is that this particular book of Revelation and this letter to the church in Laodicea is written to Christians. It's not written to non-Christians. It's written to Christians. And so it's to Christians that Jesus, the Amen and the faithful witness, is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's saying that to us, those who already have been walking with him for some time. If you hear my voice and let me in, I'll come in and eat with you and you with me. In other words, what Jesus is getting at here is that he is continually knocking on our door, the door of your heart, if you like, continually doing that, continually asking, let me come in. Let me come in again. Let me come in some more. And in anything that we're doing, everything that we're doing, as you could picture it, you could imagine it, when you're about your daily business, Jesus is knocking on the door. When you're driving up and down Broad Street or 64 or 95 or wherever you drive all around, he is knocking on your door. He's saying, I am standing at your door and knocking. And maybe even a little more challenging for some of us, when you're reading your Bible, you know, if it's a verse that you pick up on the internet every day, or whether you open the book and you're reading through a plan or whatever, when you are reading your Bible, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart saying, let me in. Just let me in. So I find it very easy, and you might too, to be reading the Bible thinking, I don't know what this means. How am I supposed to find out what this means? If I don't know what it means, how am I going to get to know God? I got to know what it means before I can know God. Does anybody read the Bible that way? That's what I thought. Okay, right. So what I'm saying is it's the other way around. And that's what Jesus is saying. You just say, you can say, Jesus, I don't know what this means, but why don't you come on in? And you and I, we'll sit down together. We'll be together. And what happens is that you grow with Jesus. That's what it is. That's how you get to know him as the Amen. That's how you get to see the promises of God fulfilled in your life, is that you are knowing him. And there's no requirement at all to get to know him. In other words, you do not have to understand any verse of the Bible at all. You don't have to understand it one bit to get to know him. It helps a lot if you do. It adds things. But he is knocking on your door so that you can invite him in. He didn't mail ahead a copy of the Bible, say, study this, and then we'll get together. I said, I just want to come in and be with you for a little while, maybe forever. And what happens is we go along in life and we catch that and we let him in and we get to know him some more. And then we go along and we mature and we get to a place we've never been in our lives, something we've never experienced, or a level of spiritual reality that we've never seen. And we step back to what we're used to doing, and that is, I got to figure this out, and then I can go ahead. And Jesus says, nope, you got to know me, and then we can figure it out. There's just no requirement. It's all grace. It's all the provision of God to get to know him. And he continually asks for a relationship that is growing with him all the time. And what happens in that relationship that's growing with him all the time is that he provides that. He provides the way for that to happen. He provides the capacity for that to take place. Now, I know a lot of people were raised in a even in a church that is very different from that, and saying, you've got to do it right, you've got to shape up, you've got to not do this, and not do that, and not do this either, and then there's that over here, you can't do that either, and then you're going to get to know God, if he'll let you, if you don't slip up. I've heard of churches like that, and I hope we never, ever communicate anything like that, because it is completely the other thing. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It doesn't say, come to me, all you who can't figure out the Bible, who don't know what to do. Well, if you figure it out first, then we can go for it. It doesn't say that. Well, all right. I think I'm making this point okay. I'm getting across. We're getting to the place that I think Jesus is talking about when he says he is the Amen and he is the faithful witness. He is the one who makes it so all the time. That is completely indestructible. There's no sin that we can commit that will destroy that promise. There's nothing that we can do that takes us off the path that will make that promise untrue. Nothing at all in all the world, all of history, all of creation, ever at any time will ever make that promise untrue. It is always true because he is the Amen and he is the faithful and true witness all the time. That is how it works. Now the question will still arise, okay, very good. How do I get to know this God? And I think the scripture has something in it that points to one very powerful way to get to know God. There's other ways too, because he's everywhere. But it's this. The Psalms say this, be still and know that I am God. I mean, I think that means If you want to know God, you be still. It is the times of being still, and you will know that God is God. And the challenge is being still, isn't it? I mean, you could sit there, and your mind, it's like an army of hamsters in there going around and around. Just... So what do? Well, the same applies. You do not have to be successful at being still to please God. You ask God to help you be still. Say, God, I want to know you, but I can't be still. Could you help me be still? He supplies the stillness. Remember Psalm 23? He makes me lie down beside still waters. He revives my soul. It's not that you revive your soul and then you're okay with God, or you find some still waters and then you're okay with God. He does that. He provides it. See, what I'm describing here is the covenant. It's the covenant with God. And a covenant, you recall, is the one who's the more powerful in the relationship supplies everything. Just absolutely everything. And the others join in. That's the covenant. That's our relationship with God. When Carol and I were on our way home, we were at the Shannon Airport, you know, getting ready for customs and this and that, and they were asking us questions. So somebody was asking us questions so that we can get through customs easily, more in the line. And somebody right behind us said, you know, I overheard you say you're a pastor. So I said, well, yes. You know, I mean, when that happens, you wonder, am I in for it or what? Is this going to be good or bad? What is it? But nonetheless, this young man was absolutely wonderful. His father is the pastor of a large community church in Cork, Ireland, and he's one of the worship leaders. And as we were on the same flight and everything, and as we were talking, one of the things he said is, I have been just so absolutely taken by the covenant of God over the past couple of months. I know this. It all comes from God. All of it. If I miss a prayer time, I'm not kicked out. If something happens that shouldn't have happened, God doesn't let me out. He doesn't say I'm mad at you and that's it. It's all from Him. His love for me and for everyone is so full and so complete that nothing stops it. This is great. What are you doing this Sunday? Do you want to come preach here? I didn't say that. Nonetheless, I mean, this is a wonderful young man to meet in his early 20s on his way to Guatemala for a mission trip. And I thought, yeah, that's what it is. If I'm looking at the scripture and nothing hits me, that doesn't mean God's kicked me out. It only means one thing. Nothing hit me. That's all it means. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of simple, you know. God loves you. That's it. There you go. All right. And you just walk in that. You find out how to respond to that. You find out what it takes for you to grow in that. You find out what it is to let God in so that love will increase and deepen all the time. You find out what it is to walk with Him and be with Him because He loves you and He wants to be with you all the time. So my question for you this morning is this. Is God saying something to you about the name of Jesus as Amen? The one who makes it so. Is there a step God might be asking you to consider so that you can let him in once again? Or let him into a place he's never been to before and see how much he loves you there. I want to encourage you, as that just came to your mind, I want to encourage you, take that step. Take this, write it down if you have to. Talk into your phone so you can hear it later. You know, whatever it takes for you to remember so that you take the step later this afternoon or tomorrow or this week or whatever it is. Don't let that go away. Let it be your experience about you heard Jesus knocking at the door and he came in and ate with you and you with him. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you are doing among us, and we thank you that you are right now knocking on the door of our hearts. We ask that we would find the way ourselves, individually, as well as corporately, as the Church of St. Francis, in everything that we do, to answer that door, to open it wide, and let you in every single time. And we ask for that for the glory of your name. Amen.